Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord loves His people and He always speaks to those who He loves and those that love Him from the heart. The Lord once said that Moses knew Him face to face. When other prophets, they would hear from God, but they didn't know Him like Moses did. People can hear from God, that's different than knowing God. Knowing God comes from rapport, having, that comes from trust, that comes from relating, a relationship, communication, learning how He thinks. You know, when we get to know people, we learn how they think, we know what they like, we know what their favorite color is, their favorite foods, their favorite places, what they enjoy doing, what makes them happy. See, the onlookers can see the smile on their face when certain people come around. Real close friends, they know what type of woman would interest their friend, you know, because they know their friend. They're familiar with their friend and their ways. You know, I got friends that I grew up with, and I know about what they'll do and what they'll choose and how they govern themselves. And because of people, you know, when people are around their friends, they act the way that whatever's in, they act according to their heart. At work, people can act a particular way. They know the rules of their workplace, and they govern themselves according to the rules and what's expected. Some people work in professional environments, and they act professional. Whether they're professional or not, some people are cut-ups, but everybody in the office knows them as a very serious person. But all their friends know them as the class clown. You know, I'm using two different extremes to give an example. And then at church, people act a certain way. And then around their family, they act another way. Around their cousins, they act a certain way. Around their parents, they can act totally different. When they're around the adults the adults of their kinfolks. And people, when they walk into a new situation, they govern themselves according to their situation. They know what's expected of them, and they know what people are looking at, and they try to behave. Well, their true friends know the truth, and they'll see the cues, and they'll play right along with it. And I know this. This is something I've experienced, and before I became a Christian, I did the same thing. But once I became a Christian, I learned to be comfortable with thirsting, and I speak my heart. Now, when I relate to the Lord, He goes with me wherever I am. He knows me. He knows everything about me, what I'll do and what I won't do. And I don't try to hide what I am before the Lord. If it don't measure up to the word, I try to get it corrected. You know, I always feared God because my parents feared God. And I didn't want to disappoint Him. And it took me a while to become a Christian because I didn't think I could do everything He wanted me to do. And I wanted to know that I would do right before I got saved. And I found out God is patient. He loves us. Some would say I should have known better, but I really didn't. And I wasn't sure what I wanted. But I knew if I was going to do this, it's too important to mess up. And the more it was explained to me that Jesus suffered for me so that I could live, I wanted to at least serve Him. If I couldn't do nothing for Him, I couldn't pay Him for the great sacrifice that He gave me, I didn't want to go and shame Him. So that was a great concern of mine. Living right was a very great concern of mine. And the Lord helped me to do right. He helped me to please Him. As I got to know the Lord and drew near, as I drew near to the Lord and He drew near to me, I learned things that really gave me insight into a greater way of life. And I'm very patient with people when they don't know God. Some people don't talk like they love God, and they don't act like they love Him. They act like they don't know Him. But God loves that person. And I want that person to know that God loves you. He sees more, there's more to you than you've seen before. God put a part of it Himself in us. We're made in His image. And the more we love each other, the more those things will be drawn out in life. And I love to stir people up in the ways of God, if I can. So, seeing that it's very important that everybody utilize the chance they have in the period of grace to get to know God and live, it's a blessing. And I want people to know that God is good. And you're not alone. And the Holy Spirit is with you wherever you go. And He's watching you. And he can help you. You can't get in enough trouble and He can't get you out of it. But you got to trust Him. And you have to believe. You have to have faith in all of in His Word. And if you have to believe Him for whatever it is you need or want. And He has a method for you to receive it. Now, over the years, I've learned many things, and I've made adjustments. Every time I said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to learn something, or I'm going to change something, when I said it from the heart, I always succeeded. Because I did it by faith. I believed God. I took God at His word on that thing. And I stayed after it till I got what I was after. Now, I got failures just like anybody else would. I didn't succeed in everything. But whenever I said, I'm going to do this or I'm going to learn this, and I said it from the heart, I always did it. And I always rose above the circumstance. And sometimes I did it greater than other times. But I always won eventually. Now, one thing that I wanted the Lord to help me understand was prosperity. How to prosper. And I asked the Lord once, I said, I wanted Him to teach me how a person could prosper in Him, legally and righteously. Not in the gimmick type way, but in a, you know, sometimes people say, give to this ministry and God will bless you, which He will. He really will do that. But that's not a lifestyle. You can't live your whole life by miracles. You have to. God blesses the work of your hands. And I want to explain that. I was telling a friend today that God will give you knowledge and wisdom liberally. He gives that to us liberally. He will multiply knowledge and wisdom to you. You can read the things that He already made. And you can invent things that will be a marvel to man. You know, God, He gave us wisdom from the beginning. And people are still just scratching the surface when it comes to technology. Understand that technology is portrayed in all creation. There's nothing that a man can imagine that he can't read in nature first. Well, even electricity. Adam saw lightning, but Benjamin Franklin learned how to harness it. All those years went by before somebody learned how to harness it. And Tesla learned how to control it better. But God gives us with the inventions. He gives us knowledge and wisdom liberally. But when it comes to possessions and natural prosperity, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all things that you could possibly desire, whatever it is you're after, it will be added to your life. Now watch how the Lord talks. Jesus used the word added. He didn't say liberally given. He said added. And He meant added. And I started, and the more I consider those things, I think about the word. And in the word of God, though the wealthiest men, you can see how they prospered. And I want to show you something about time and prosperity. The Lord gives you the ability to get wealth every day, every day, every day, day in and day out, every day. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added. If you think a moment at the wealthiest men who were industrious, their mind was on the Lord. Abraham had a relationship with the Lord. The Lord told him to go to another country and leave his kinfolks, and leave the land he was born in and go somewhere else. And he obeyed God, but he was a very industrious man. In order to have the amount of wealth that he had 300 men that was part of his army that kept his cattle. And they were so good at fighting that they helped win a war and take back what was theirs. Now, to have that kind of wealth, it works together with seeking God, with seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, I want to explain something. I explained this to my friend, and he was the first person I ever really explained this to, because it was of the Holy Spirit, and I just learned it. Now, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, a lot of things you're not going to do that will cost you more than you're capable of making. Just naturally looking at it, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, there's a lot of things you're not going to try. There's a lot of things, evil things you won't attempt. And in the place of all the mischief that will cost you in the end, or during your life, or throughout your life, you know, you can have all three. You can do something that costs you more than you want to pay in the end, during your life, and throughout your life. Some people made one decision and it costed them throughout their life. Sometimes men have married the wrong woman and it costed them dearly, continually. Or some women got involved with the wrong man and it costed them continually throughout their life. But when you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you come to a point where you'll listen to Him. When you come to a point where you listen to Him, He sees the future. He sees the choice you're about to make. Now those who can listen, the Lord can warn them, and they will take heed to the warning and avoid the problem. Now that's just one aspect of it, but there's many more. Beside the fact that they'll grow and learn to listen to the Lord and trust what He say and act on it, beside that, they're seeking the knowledge of God and His heart and how things work. And they can be clued in on how things work and how to truly prosper. And the Lord can take whatever they have and show them how to prosper with what they have in their life. God can take a man and give him a job where he only makes $8 an hour. And he may not be able to get a job that he fits better, you know, in the small town he lives in. That may be the best job he'll get at this stage of his life. And he may not have skills yet, but he has to work in a restaurant or a grocery store making $8 an hour. But God knows how to be a light. Now, if he keeps seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and no other job opportunities come up except for the one he has, with the wisdom of God, he can still become a very wealthy man over time. Now, the Lord can take a little and do a lot. If he regard God on all of his purchases and the things that he desired to do and talk to the Lord about it and get wisdom, instead of buying a brand new car and paying high dollars, the Lord knows where all the cars are. And there's one out there that if he buy it, it's in good shape and it will last a duration of his life. How long, you know, the Lord knows. And the Lord may guide him to it. And the people may not want much for it, or maybe they want a fair market value for it, or even a little more. But if the Lord say do something, do it. And he may have you to buy it just to help them. But beyond that, he gets the car. And then the Lord will show him where to take it to get it fixed, and he get it fixed right. And he can make good judgments. He can buy good tires and keep it going and keep the oil checked. And if he doesn't know much about it, the Lord got people out there to do. And if he'll listen, you have to be the kind of person that'll listen. People that are too busy don't always listen. People that think they know everything don't always listen. But when you have ears to hear God, you get used to listening to people. And when you hear right information, you can tell it's true, because it'll make so much sense that it can't be foolish. Your ability to judge things increases when you have conversations with the Lord. All these things come from seeking first the kingdom of God. So you listen to the Lord, you listen to people who have wisdom, and people that God can guide in your life. Some are saved, some may not be. And the Lord will show you how to win souls. Now, he can enhance what you have, and it takes patience to do all this, because this is a way of life. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. Get-rich-quick schemes is usually a scheme, and they don't work. They hurt people more than they help them. But this is life, and the Lord will give you wisdom for your life. So, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you're not doing things that will cause you trouble, and you're learning to do things that will bless others and be a blessing to yourself. Now, when those opportunities come about, which they will, because diligent people, it's easy for God to reveal to people good opportunities when they are paying attention to them. And when you're diligent, people notice it. When you're good at something, people notice it. And when the right opportunity comes, the Lord can alert you to it. And because you listen to him, you will take notice. Even when it's in the rough draft stages. Another friend told me what he was going to do. I said, you're going to become a very wealthy man, because what you're going to do is going to work. He has a plan, and he's taking time. He's been working on it for weeks. I said, it's going to work. I can tell it's going to work. Now, the things of God, when God prospers people, they don't happen all at once. Now, I talked about it on another broadcast. I never seen God give a man a house or a car unless they were serving him for a very long time. Now, people inherit houses and cars, and some people have generous parents that just give them houses and cars. God didn't do it. Their parents did that, because God don't do that. Because it's not, he gives us day by day opportunities. We have to learn to work with our hands. And whatever you're getting day by day, it adds up. Now, what I want to help people see is the fact that God thinks of everything. He added some things to our life, but he multiplies the things that matter most, like his wisdom and knowledge. He's the one that gave you the word of God and all the wisdom of nature. He gave you that. That's a gift. But you, in order to truly prosper, work as unto him on your job or business. Seek first the kingdom of God. And every day be diligent about what it is you're doing to earn money. And then take a portion of that money and give it to the ministry. Your tithes and your offerings, however much you want to do in your heart. Tithes is 10%, and above that is an offering. And then from there, go about doing good. Just being kind to people. Being a blessing, saying kind things to people. Helping people understand things. This is the heart of God. This is where wealth comes from. When you're serving mankind. Now this is not just your job. You do that on your job. You do what you're supposed to on your job. You're working. But in life, you're going about doing good. Being a blessing to people. And then you take a portion of your day and you spend with the Lord and you learn from him. And then what's going to happen is people are going to be blessed, and you're going to be grow from glory to glory. And from there, over time, you're going to be able to save. If you save a portion of what you're earning and you're working towards a goal, you're buying a house and you're putting money aside. There are wise ways to get out of debt. And the Lord will show you things. And because you love him, you listen to him. And because you listen to him, you act on his wisdom. And you're steadily growing and making money along the way. Now, the money you're making on the job, you may not get rich doing that, but if you spend it right, if you're saving, and if you're using your money wisely, and if you're taking care of the things you're buying, my mother said, you can't get rich buying the same things over and over again. Now, I keep my vehicles a long time because I'm a mechanic and I know how to do it. But some people waste they drive hard and they ruin their cars and they have to buy another one. And they never learn how to take care of a car. There's three things you can do by just driving that will help that car last a long time. Don't take off too hard. When you stop at a red light and the light turns green, when you take off, ease on the gas and let it go and pick up speed gradually. Not in a slow, you don't have to drive slow, but ease off. And once it's rolling, then give it gas and let it pick up. Like the proverbial old lady would do. But you don't have to take off as slow. Just don't stump the gas and try to get all that weight to move at once. People that do that, they ruin their cars. It's hard on everything. It's hard on all the things that makes it go. The second thing is, stop easy. When you know you got to stop and you're driving, just take your foot off the gas and ease on the brakes. That makes a world of difference to your front end parts, your suspension. I can tell how people drive by the way when I work on their cars. And the third thing is, don't turn too deep. Don't turn that power steering wheel. So you have, most cars have power steering. And that power steering mechanism is strong. It's a hydraulic system. That's why the car is so easy to turn. But if you turn it as far as it'll go until it can't turn anymore, the power steering pump's still putting pressure on your front end parts. And it'll cause them to wear out prematurely. So if you take off easy, stop easy and don't turn too deep. That alone will put life, your car will last a lot longer than it would. Now, that's why, there's a reason why people want the little old lady's car, because they don't tear them up like Mad Jack. Mad Jack drives hard and heavy. He runs over bumps and dips, and he corners the curves as fast as he can. If you drive like Mad Jack, you're just going to have to buy cars. You'll have a yard full of ruined cars that you ruined and wasted money on. And if you live in an area where the roads are rough, why not buy a Jeep or a truck? They have stronger suspension than a car. But if you live in a good place where the roads are good and you like cars, then fine. But if you live in an area where the roads are terrible, then, you know, if you don't mind, get something that has a better suspension system, like a Jeep or a truck. All these things make a difference. You know, with all this in mind, following God, you will learn patience. Sticking with what God gives you requires patience. Patience is a part of faith. It's a waiting faith. It keeps you, faith is always on. It's always now. It's always current. It's always looking to God. It's always regarding His Word. That's what faith does. Now, when you believe in God for something, a situation that involves, the more it involves other people, the longer it takes. And there's a duration. Well, patience keeps you active in faith in the duration. It's a waiting faith. It's an element of faith. But it's not faith all by itself. You know, so when you're looking to the Lord and you're daily being a blessing to other people, you're working as unto God. In relationships, you're representing God. You're receiving strength from Him so that you can be patient with people and tolerant and understanding, a voice of reason. You don't interpret things as an attack all the time. When people lunge out at you or they're not at their best, your patience and your love causes you to take a deeper look into their life. They wouldn't be acting this way unfavorably. They wouldn't do unfavorable things if something else wasn't out of order. And sometimes people take the attacks personally. And sometimes they are personal. And even if they are, you can receive strength from the Lord and cover their sin. You don't have to. You can still be a representative of God to them. Because you're representing His love in their activity, in their evil activity. Now, you're doing these things because you love God in the name of the Lord. And some people can be deadly, but the Lord will give you wisdom. A person can be a deadly enemy, and the Lord will show you how to love them and not get in strife on your part. And then, through your prayers, he can rescue your life and put them in a position where they can never hurt you again. Even if they have to work with you in the same room, the Lord can, His angels can put them in a position where they can't touch you. And over time, you may win them to Christ. And you may not. Because some people are rebellious. That's just how it is. But at least you can do your part. Now, when it comes to attaining things, those things are added. Now, what if you took a small amount and set it aside? Over time, it becomes a lot. When I first got my job, an older and wiser man than I was worked there. He said, look, start your account, take $15 out of every paycheck and put it aside. You won't even miss it. And it'll add up so fast, it's astounding. But at the time, I had just closed my shop and I needed every dime. I felt like I needed every dime I had, which $15 a paycheck wouldn't have hurt me at all. And I would have thousands of dollars now being 23 years later, 22 and a half years later, I would have had thousands of dollars. Because some years ago, I let them cut $25 and it added up fast too. And I do have thousands, but if I had done it in the first place, I would have enough to pay cash for a car in real time. But see, that kind of faith takes patience. So when you're patient with people, it works together with your faith. It keeps you, patience helps you remain in faith. So it's very important to have that. That comes from seeking the Lord. When your eyes are on Him, these all kind of good things happen. I'm just scratching the surface. We'll visit this again because I'm out of time. Now, till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.